الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أجبا لأمر المؤمن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected brothers, elders, firstly, we are in a month of Safar, and I think it's very important that we dispel some of the misunderstandings that may have come with our origin, having been from India. All our origin, our forefathers, they came from India. So when they came from India, they imported a lot of things and they brought it with them and they came. Not necessarily some of those things were rightfully correct also. Some of them became just, you know, a habitual thing and something that they used to practice upon. There were people who were very simple people. Deen was not so easily available and so easily accessible like how it has become in our time. So a lot of things that came, it was also imported with them when they came from India. One of the superstitious beliefs that people have, and normally some people really take it very seriously, is this: in the month of Safar, there are like some things you mustn't do at all. Like Safar. They think Safar, in the month of Safar, you mustn't get married, you mustn't open a business. The elderly people will know this, that this was something that was very prevalent, and sometimes some people even used to speak about this in the past. So in order to dispel, our akidah and our beliefs are very, very important. Our akidah and beliefs, because you get, my dear brothers, as far as our obligation and our duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, what we will call hukukullah, that is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will fulfill his obligatory duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll read his salah, he'll pay his zakat, he'll perform his obligatory fard hajj if needs be, and he has done these amals and deeds and actions, etc. So these are all hukukullah. But as far as hukukullah is concerned, it is the amaran, it is the right and prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wishes, he can take a person to task, and if he so wishes, he can make a person maaf also. And more importantly than just only the amals, my dear brothers, is the akidah and the beliefs of a person. So the akidah and beliefs are the foundations of a person. If the foundation and the akidah and belief of a person is incorrect, then the daromadar, the basis of his amals, are based on his akidah and belief. So if his amals are correct, but his akidah is incorrect, then his amals are rejected. It won't be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the basis of acceptance is that the person must have the correct akidah and belief. For a simple example, just to give you a very simple example, he may be reading his 5-time daily salah, and he may be fulfilling all his other obligatory duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his akidah and belief in regards to, like for example, let's just say a simple example of paradise and hell, hellfire, jahannam, jannat and jahannam, and he might have some misconstrued or misunderstanding, or he may have an incorrect belief of that, then his amals are wasted, it won't be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A simple aqidah and belief, you know, like for example, like he might say, like, belief with regards to that the roles of a man and a role of a woman, it's completely, you know, it's supposed to be identical. And there's no such thing as a difference between the, you know, the actions of a man and a woman. And his aqidah and belief with regard to that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge a person according to his heart, and you know, he can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, you don't have to have the real belief with regards to paradise and hellfire, or you, I don't believe in, for example, the authenticity of a certain ayat of the Quran, where the ayat of the Quran speaks about the differences between the shares between a man and a woman. And we say, no, we're living in a contemporary world where everybody is equal here. Men and women is equal. So my aqidah and my belief with regard to this particular aspect, with regard to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a clear-cut injunction in the Quran, simple instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَذِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that the male, he gets twice the amount of a female. So he doubts this, or he questions this. So what that he's actually doing is that he is questioning the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His aqidah and belief will be incorrect, because of which his whole amals will get rejected. So we must be very careful, very cautious. And alhamdulillah, we are living in a time, in an age where information and knowledge is very widespread. But we also have to be very cautious and careful who you take that knowledge and information from. Can't just take it from Mufti Google. One lady came in our office, and then she's asking the question also, and she's giving the answer also. You know, you get some people like that. So she came in the office and she said that, I already did my research, and my husband gave me 3 talaqs. And I did my research, and according to this thing here, it must be 1 talaq. Now I want you all to give a verdict in regards to that. You see, now she's asking the question also, and she's giving you the answer also. So the knowledge has become so widespread, and it's become so common. So now sometimes it becomes challenging for a person to understand exactly what must I take and who must I take. In fact, so much so that a person has to be very cautious who we take our deen from. Because the deen, this darumadar, this deen of Islam, this is very sacred in the sight of Allah. Inna deena indallahil Islam. Verily, the deen that is acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the deen of Islam. Now, each one of us may have his own understanding of something. Now, whose interpretation or whose understanding we have to take, that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, and he told us that there will come a time, or he gave us some nasiha, and he said that the time will come, a time of fitna will come. And it will be so much of fitna that you will not be able to decipher what is right and what is wrong. It will be a time of deception, and a time of where everything will be, you know, will be mixed. In so much so, now what must you do at that particular time? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the guidance, and he said that, you know, I am leaving you, taraktu fikum amrain, I am leaving behind 2 things. And then the sahaba were very, taraktu fikum amrain, ma in tamassaktuhuma lan tadillu abada, as long as you hold steadfast to it. You hold steadfast to it. Then the hadith is saying, لَن تَدِلُّ أَبَدًا, you will never ever go astray. He didn't say you will never go astray. You will never ever go astray. That lam and that noon is an emphasis in the Arabic language. It comes with emphasis. So لَن تَدِلُّ أَبَدًا, you will never ever go astray. And then he said, كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my point being that we have to be very cautious, very careful, especially in so far as our challenges that we are living in the present zamana, in our present time, that we must not get misled. and must not get taken up into a wrong direction. Brothers, everybody today got an opinion. You know, two places I saw. One is when you go for Umrah or you go for Hajj. Then everybody becomes a mufti. When you're having lunch or you're having something on a meal, then you'll see somebody will ask on Masla that when I was making tawaf, then, you know, after three rounds or something now, before three rounds finish, I passed wind. So now must I start my tawaf again or must I just continue my tawaf? How it is, however in my condition, or do I have to renew my tawaf? What must I do? And on the table you'll find a lot of people, muftis now, they'll say, no, you can carry on your tawaf, because now she's saying like how you do in sa'i. You know, in sa'i, you can do sa'i without wuzu also. So sa'i, if your sa'i, your wuzu breaks, you can continue with your sa'i. So he's thinking like the same rule will apply in so far as the tawaf is concerned. So this one, he gives his opinion. And then somebody will give his opinion and say, no, you must go and make your wuzu and come back and you must start your tawaf again. And somebody will say, no, you must continue from where you are, you must make wuzu and come back and just continue. So every person got their own, they got their own opinion. Everybody is got his own say in a certain matter. But whose say must we accept? Whose must we follow? Who must we, you know, we might have to submit ourselves to somebody. Insofar as our dini matters are concerned, my dear brothers, we have to be very cautious. We have to be very cautious who we are taking our deen from, whom we are following, those people who are holding steadfast unto deen. Time will come, my dear brothers, and we are living, you can see, in that particular zamana where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied and he told us that to practice upon deen will be like holding a burning charcoal in your hand. How it's almost impossible for a person to hold a burning piece of charcoal in his hand, it will become likewise very difficult for a person who wants to practice on the complete sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants to practice on complete deen. It becomes very, very challenging for him. And that is actually his test in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the test of the time that we are living in, that how much of deen and how much of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have in us, how much the tabidari and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam we have in us, that we are able to stick to the asal, to the original practice. So every person will have their own interpretation, their own explanation, their own, and my dear brothers, the ajib thing is that deen doesn't depend on your and my understanding, what seems very logical to us. We are living in a challenging time. Allah Ta'ala tells us, even in regards to like calamities. Now look at this calamity that people are facing in you know, one of the Muslim countries in the world where we feel heart sore. Over 60% of the country is underwater. What challenges and difficulty. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now everybody will give their own interpretation, and some people will say that no, it is the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not there to judge anything of that nature. My dear brothers, whatever halats and condition come upon us, if that halat and condition is taking a person closer to Allah, then my dear brothers, it is in reality, it is a blessing for us. If a halat and condition takes a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is better than that condition of comfort and that condition of, you know, great things that he may be having. And if that particular circumstances is taking him far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in comparison to the two, the calamity is better for him because it's taking him closer to Allah. So a person has to judge by his reaction to a particular halat and circumstances that befalls him. We are going through every day, somebody will have some challenge. And it is not something that you and I can understand with our own logical understanding. This intellect cannot fathom and understand. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrul lakum. Sometimes you despise something, you don't want it. But Allah in His wisdom knows, wa huwa khayrul lakum, it is good for you. So you want something to happen. You want that deal to go through. You want that particular business to become successful or whatever it might be. Whatever halat and circumstances, you want something, you desire, you have, what we will say, a dream for it. Allah didn't make it happen. And it is in the knowledge. Then Allah says, Asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum. So asa an takrahu shay'an, you don't like something, but it is good for you. Sometimes you like something, but Allah knows it's not good for you. Then Allah says, Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. That Allah in His infinite knowledge, He is aware. Wa antum, you people, you don't know. So Allah in His, we must submit ourselves, my dear brothers, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the halat and conditions and the challenges that face us from different time to time that we are, we face in our life. Sometime a person comes, he's very despondent, he's suffering like a type of a depression, he's unhappy, and then he says, I'm having this challenge, this challenge, this challenge. But my dear brothers, we have to turn our halat and our condition, turn it in a positive. And how you turn it in a positive, my dear brothers, we must always, my dear brothers, reflect upon the ni'mats and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are enjoying. And then ask yourself, am I enjoying more ni'mats of Allah, or am I having more of the challenges of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is facing, giving me to face? And we are having the great infinite ni'mats and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are enjoying, my dear brothers. We have to offer appreciation and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La in shakartum la azidannakum. If we make shukr to Allah for our halat and condition and for the good conditions that we enjoy, Allah ta'ala will increase that. But we have to be cautious that that good condition and halat that we are experiencing is not taking us further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is taking you further away from Allah, a person is becoming more negligent of his salah. He's not fulfilling his salah, for example. He's got lots of luxuries. And that luxuries is taking him away more into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know what are the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must judge ourselves. Each one of us has to judge ourselves. That this situation that I am in, is it a ni'mat of Allah or is it a test from Allah? It is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm successful in the test if it is taking me towards Allah. And if it is taking me further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because people think that, I'm being showered with ni'mats and bounties, but sometimes you're getting showered with ni'mats and bounties, but it's taking a person far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, give us true understanding of our deen, and give us the ability to hold steadfast unto all the practices of deen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdu inna